Wes McElroy on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, and we are brought to you on the radio.com app. Download and listen to us, the Junkies, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, and starting tomorrow, those Richmond Flying Squirrels, all on the radio.com app. And you heard Danny there. If you missed Danny, don't forget tomorrow, Danny and Parney at 11 a.m. out in front of the Diamond. Stop by, pick up a free hot dog. There are no strings attached. Come on out. Just have a good dog. Be 70 degrees and sunny tomorrow. It'll be beautiful. These guys will be out in front of the Diamond cooking up dogs. Come out, say hello, and meet Danny tomorrow, 11 to 1, as we celebrate opening day in the RVA. We actually have squirrels tickets to give away. We'll get to those coming up. We'll get to some baseball as well. Nats and Phillies playing as they are in the sixth. Danny will keep you posted. But thanks to David Teal for jumping on, talking a little Virginia Tech and some Virginia as they head off to the Final Four today. But I want to keep with the story of Buzz Williams departing Virginia Tech, because every Wednesday we have John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. Lays, Buzz came in 2014. Your first year was 2015. What was your first encounter like with Buzz Williams?
Yeah, I was actually at my apartment, my first one. He was doing yoga at the studio underneath where I lived in Blacksburg. So I ran into him in the parking lot and I said, sorry, coach, I haven't had time to get over there. And he said, you've been busy. Yes. But my first actual professional encounter was at a tip-off banquet, actually in Richmond. And I don't even remember what question I asked the first one, but he went on a long answer and at the end goes, does that answer your terrible question? And that's how we got off and running in molding that process. But yeah, that was my first interview setting with him for sure.
I just asked David Teal this, and it's a little bit different for you, but if I would have told you, hey, Lays, when you get this job, don't worry. You're going to get to call three NCAA tournaments. You're going to get a run to the Sweet 16 and a couple 20-win seasons. What would you have said day one of your job?
It was hard to see that path, honestly. I think because the easiest thing to see when you get into the ACC is how difficult it is. And when you look at the schedule and you start going like you do, and you look at an NFL schedule, okay, that's probably a win. That's probably a loss. It looks very daunting. So I think on day one, particularly when I walked in to my first game at Castle Coliseum against Alabama State, game that the Hokies lost and there really wasn't much of an environment and was kind of apathetic due in large part to the opponent, but also to the lack of success that basketball had, it was hard to see that. And I think it was still hard to see that even at times throughout the course of this year, because there's such a fragility to it all. I wrote a column about that for our Virginia Tech sports magazine here on campus about how it's just so difficult to sustain things. And there are so many variables, including injuries and all the other things that crop up in terms of departures. So you can never assume something like that. I only needed to go to one practice to understand that this was a program that was as hardworking as anybody and was as intense as anybody. So I think you could definitely see that in terms of what they were attempting to build. But no, I don't think you could have envisioned a sold out Capital One Arena as rabid as it was less than a week ago against the number one team in the country in that round of the tournament and say, here's how we're going to get from point A to point Z. And even if you thought that you knew that all the way at the beginning, it was certainly a different path than maybe the one that you would even imagine.
John Lazor with us, the voice of the Hokies. He's brought to you each and every Wednesday by Cowan Gates. And Lazor, I'm not going to do the media complaining thing. I tried to get him on the radio show a couple times. He did national radio, didn't do the local radio shows. He had a fun, unique, I'll keep it that, with sports writers. So there was part of it where I never got to know him like I know Mike Rhodes or Tony Bennett. But you did. You got to know him a little bit different because you guys traveled. You were always around the team. He's an intense, genuine guy. I can say that. How did he motivate these guys? How did he not only change the record, but how did he change the culture?
Yeah, I struggle to explain him, and I don't think I do an adequate job of doing it, even though, to your point, I was able to get to know him, I think, differently than most people do. But you know me, and you know how difficult that was for me and some of the lengths that you have to go to, because he's looking for sincerity in every single one of the people that's around him. And for me, that meant that this is what people don't see, probably even here at Virginia Tech. You know, I went to every practice, unless there was a football conflict, and I was at every practice, and not for 20 minutes, you know, for the entire 2 hours. Obviously, shoot-arounds really broke through when I started going in the morning and lifting weights with him and some of the other staff members and occasionally some of the players, and that really unlocked doors. He wants to see that work ethic. And I think what's different about him is it's not just lip service, and the guys around him know that. If you're not willing to work in all areas of your life, and for these guys, that's academics, and that's the way they conduct themselves, you know, in terms of their dealings and associations and correspondence, then he doesn't have time for you. And that's the issue. I think that was the disconnect a lot of times in terms of the way that he comes off publicly, because he just doesn't have that filter in terms of how to diplomatically respond, or doesn't have the time in his own mind to do so. And that creates friction. But you know, I can say with 100% certainty that having gotten to know him on a more personal level inside, and I'm not claiming that you know, I was one of his closest confidants or anything like that, but it's all sincere. Sometimes there's some superficial stuff on the outside and some embellishment and things like that. But at the end of the day, if he loved you, he loved you. And his guys knew that.
Lays, what is left of this team? And you still don't know, because there's so many moving parts. It can be moving parts when a new coach comes in. But Buzz Williams did get people to care about this program again. So if Whit Babcock says, Lays, what characteristics should I look for in the next guy? Seeing what you've seen in the growth of this program, what's that next coach got to have?
Well, I think he's, one, got to have a little bit of a track record. I think you're not taking a flyer on this hire, and I don't think that we'll be going with the hot name of the moment, you know, whoever that may be, in terms of bringing him in and hoping that that person will have success at this level. I think he'll be looking for someone that does have, you know, a little bit of an established track record and has reached some of the heights that Virginia Tech has been able to reach in the last few years with Buzz Williams. Because to your point, it's very early and too early to tell what's going to happen with some of the guys that are currently on the roster. But I think you're also in a position where it may be ideal if whoever you're bringing in could bring a couple guys with him. Because I think the last thing that you need right now as a program is to have to bottom out and completely rebuild. Even if you got the guy you want and you think you're going to be able to do that in 2 or 3 years, you know, relevance and interest in a program can be very fleeting, particularly in a football dominant area. You know, I don't think this is a program that can go into next year and just be non-competitive in the ACC. I think you look at what Louisville did actually a few years ago under Rick Pitino, where you explore the graduate transfer market regardless of who your coach is and try to remain maybe not Sweet 16 competitive, but night in, night out competitive in the ACC while you're trying to build would be ideal.
I'll let you go on this one because I don't want to fast forward. I just don't want to go past this. You've covered a lot of teams. You've taken a lot of buses. You've been on a lot of different sports. How much fun do you have this year covering this team?
Yeah, I love this team. You know, there's emotional investment, and that's one of the things I've always enjoyed when people have asked, you know, would you rather go work for a network, you know, and just travel and not have to have that commitment sometimes. You know, and my answer to that has always been, you don't get it every year. You know, I didn't get it every year with the Flying Squirrels. Some teams I had a lot more of a close association with others. Same was true in my career, you know, at other organizations and in other sports. And I had that building. You know, I love Devin Wilson and I love Justin Bibbs and some of the guys that had graduated, Seth and Zach, before that. But I think it was more in terms of my willingness to be around the facility so much more this year and just make time for that, even when football becomes your priority, which it is for a lot of the season and needs to be. But I just got to know these guys so well, and not just in a basketball sense. And when the doors finally unlocked, to just kind of feel like you were a part of it all, and then it culminates in success through adversity, you know, kind of had all of those different emotions. So for me, it was exceptionally validating, which is also why kind of mixed emotions today. You know, it would have been anyway, because, you know, I saw Justin Robinson up at the complex working out today and knowing that I won't call any more of his games. And I saw Ty Outlaw yesterday and, you know, some of those other guys. So there's always a sadness at the end of the season. But at the same time, because of what Buzz and his staff was able to do and the relationships that they've made and the ability that they've had to put Virginia Tech back into that national scene, I'm also excited about what's ahead.
John Lazor on Twitter, at LaysVT, brought to you by Cowan Gates. If you see a guy that looks like John Lazor around the diamond tomorrow, it will be him. And then I hope to catch up with you in Minnesota. Your part of your life was up there. Your parents still live up there. I'm going to have like 5 days. Is there anything that I need to see, do, eat while in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, it's amazing. I was reading an article about it, how much downtown has transformed since I've been gone. I haven't really primarily been in Minnesota in about 15 years. But yeah, you got to get down to First Ave. There's all kinds of nightlife and eateries and all kinds of things around Target Field down there where the Twins play now. And then just a few blocks away is where the Final Four will actually be held at the Viking Stadium. So yeah, just if you're staying downtown, stay down there. There's no shortage of culture and good things to do at night.
I hope to see you at some point this weekend, buddy. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, I'm going all the way across the country to hang out with you, who I could do on any weekend, my friend. I'll see you up there. All right?
You can't get enough of me. See you, buddy. Get out of here. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, there for you in any case. And I also want to thank Brandon Cowan, helping my wife out with some legal stuff, good stuff. But Brandon, total pro. So Cowan Gates, check him out. All right, we'll come back. I do want to circle back to last night and what went down at Nats Park as the Nats and Phillies continue to play. But I thought last night was great drama. And Danny Noakes said something today when he walked into work that rang a bell with me. And I think Danny's spot on, so I'll give him the floor to address it next. Wes McElroy on the news, Sports Radio 910, The Fan.